Have you ever gotten a gift, a really nice gift, and you were surprised by it? Maybe weren't expecting it at all. Someone just kind of suddenly put some gift in your lap and you open it and it's something really nice. And maybe at some point in all of that, you may have asked the question, is this for me? Well, again, you weren't really expecting it and it's really nice. And so it kind of makes you ask the question, is this really for me? I thought about that when we sang that first song today. Is it for me? You consider how wonderful the blessings are in Christ, and is this really for me? And the Lord says, yes, it is. Indeed, it is for me, and it is for you. So just happened to think about that as we were singing that first song. I do want to say that we have some of our college students home today. It's always good to see y'all. We think about you even when you're gone, and certainly we continue to pray for you that you remain faithful to the Lord, but it's always good to see you here. Bad habits are hard to break, right? You've heard that many, many times. Wouldn't the same, though, be true of good habits? Good habits are hard to break. So obviously, between the two, we want to establish good habits. We want to get in the habit of doing the things the Lord would have us to do. And that's going to be our subject today. And the way we're going to introduce it today is by asking this question. Have you ever noticed these words and phrases throughout the New Testament? Words like always, often, constantly, continually, diligently, steadfastly, day and night. Those words and phrases appear throughout the New Testament, and most oftentimes they're used in connection with things that we ought to be doing in service to the Lord. And if those words are used in connection with our duties to the Lord, then obviously they suggest that the need to do things on a habitual basis, on a constant basis. And so this morning we want to look at some of those specific things that we ought to be doing always, often, constantly, and so forth. The first one we want to consider is prayer. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. We oftentimes use Daniel as a great example of prayer, and for good reason. Daniel chapter 6, now this is after the decree has been issued that, you know, you cannot offer any petition to any other god except the king. Well, here's Daniel's response to that decree. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And then don't forget the last part here. As was his custom since early days. That may be the part we forget about that passage sometimes. We talk about how the decree did not deter him from praying. He went home. He prayed three times. But that's what he had been doing all along. And of course, he wasn't going to stop at this time. So clearly, Daniel had made a habit out of prayer. Have we? Look in Luke chapter 5. This time we'll use our Lord as an example. Luke chapter 5. And let's read verses 15 and 16. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And of course, that's not the only source of teaching as far as Jesus' prayers were concerned. We have other passages that indicate that Jesus made a habit out of prayer, just like we observed with Daniel a few minutes ago. And then turn to Luke chapter 18. Here Jesus teaches a parable concerning prayer. very easy to understand the point that he makes here. In fact, he tells us the point of the parable in the very first verse. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So when you get through reading this parable, say, I don't understand the main point. Well, he just told you. This is what it's all about. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge His own elect, who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? You might want to just take that last question there and apply it to yourself. When He comes, will He really find faith in you? Are you the kind of person who cries out day and night? Do you always pray? Which is the point of this entire parable. It's a good habit to get into, obviously. Now, let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. Let's look at a few other passages on this subject of prayer. Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And then we're given a great example later on in this chapter of someone who did just that. Look in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In just about every congregation, you're going to have some people who are unable to get out like they would like to. Sometimes people who are not very old, who have some physical problems, and a lot of times, of course, it is the elderly, can't get out as much as they would like. There are certain things that they would love to do in service to the Lord that they cannot do any longer because of these physical limitations. But here's something they can do constantly, regularly, day and night, and that is to pray to God for themselves and for their brethren. You can do that, right? Now, I'm not just saying that it's reserved for them, and we all ought to do that. But this is a wonderful work in which we all need to be engaged. And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, we're familiar with that one, right? Pray without ceasing. Just keep on praying. Don't let anything stop you. Daniel didn't let anything stop him. He didn't even let a law that had been passed saying that he was going to be thrown into the den of lions if he did it. He didn't let that stop him. And so let's not let anything stop us. Why is it that we sometimes don't pray as regularly as we ought? Because we get too busy, right? I tell you, if we ever are honest with ourselves and have to say, you know, I've just gotten a little bit too busy to pray, that ought to indicate to us right then and there that we've got a problem. Jesus made time for it. Daniel made time for it. Epaphras made time for it. We have numerous examples of where Paul made time for it. You think those people were busy? You think Daniel had a lot to do? He was in charge of a third of the kingdom. Anybody got that big a responsibility? I know a lot of you got a pretty big responsibility at work. I doubt any of you have the responsibility that Daniel had. But he made time to pray. Great habit, obviously, to get into. Here's another habit assembling with the saints. Want to get in the habit of doing that constantly, regularly, right? And I know this ought to go without saying, but it just doesn't always happen that way with everyone. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, you remember what happened right after those 3,000 or so obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost? Here's what they did immediately following. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued together. They began to worship together, and they did that steadfastly, constantly. You think they had to be begged to do that? You think anybody had to really urge them to be there? I think these people were pretty excited about what had happened to them. And I think they were pretty excited together with their brethren. Certainly in time, there were probably those who needed to be encouraged, some that maybe began to fall away a little bit. But really, if we have the right attitude, it's not something we have to be begged to do. Look also in Acts 11 and verse 26, another example. Acts 11 and verse 26, let's pick up with verse 25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So Paul and Barnabas both go to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The idea here, of course, is that they assembled with the church in Antioch for a whole year. They did that constantly, regularly. They were continually meeting with these brethren, which is obviously what we still need to do today. Acts 20 and verse 7. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. That would seem to be what they did regularly on the first day of the week, right? When the first day of the week came around, okay, it's time for us to gather together. It's time for us to eat the Lord's Supper. It's time for us to worship God. Now, here's the question. Has everybody here today established this as a habit? Has everybody here today established this as a habit? Are you doing it regularly, constantly? Or would another word fit better, such as sporadically, every now and then, occasionally? Which word would best fit your attendance at these assemblies? Now, if it's sporadic, if it's occasionally, if it's when it's convenient, I don't believe anybody has to tell you today that you're doing wrong. It needs to be regular. It needs to be constant. It doesn't have to be, or it doesn't need to be, a decision-making thing every time it rolls around. Honey, do you feel like going today? You think the kids are up to it today? We got everything ready to make it to services today? It shouldn't be a decision. Get in the habit of it. It's like, okay, this Sunday's rolling around. Wednesday night we have Bible study. Been having it for a long time here, haven't we? Pretty well established that this we're going to meet on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Plan around that. Plan around that. Make sure that everything is prepared for that. Hebrews chapter 10. Excuse me. Hit the wrong button there. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And certainly the admonition that we oftentimes appeal to on this basis, and you've heard it many times. But let's look at it again. Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then one final passage. Look in Hebrews 13, in verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, I know that's not necessarily in the context of a worship assembly there. That can be done individually. I understand that. But it is talking about the need to continually worship God. And again, I know you can offer sacrifice to praise to Him elsewhere. You can do that in your prayers individually and in singing in other places, not just here in the assembly. But again, at least the general principle is established that worship to God is something that should be done on a continual basis. I'm not sure that those who absent themselves from the assemblies all along are the type of people who are taking advantage of opportunities outside the assembly to do it. It usually doesn't work that way. And one of the fears that I have is you have some who are just weak and don't come as often as they should. You've got others, though, who suppose themselves to be strong, who are letting what they consider legitimate things get in the way all too often, really. And they don't realize how weaker or how much weaker they're getting because of that. You need to think about it. Sometimes the biggest concern in this area is those who others would suppose to be strong. But they're missing, you know, here and there all along. Every time they miss, they're missing a Bible study. They're missing the prayers that we offer up to God together. They're missing invitations. They're missing all kinds of things that make them stronger. You don't see it. You don't see yourself getting weaker. Other people do. You just need to be aware of that. Other people do see that. And above all, God sees that. Let's establish it as a habit. Another thing we need to do on a regular basis is study. Psalms chapter 1. Let's begin there with that and just kind of go through and look at various passages on the need to make this a continual thing. Psalms chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There's our key phrase again. We're obviously not going to take the time to read all of Psalms 119. Have you read that psalm before, though? Or at least portions of it? It's a psalm that really is a hymn of praise to what? It's a hymn of praise to the Word of God. The entire psalm extols the virtues of God's Word and the value of studying God's Word. And so sometimes just kind of go through there. And probably when you get through reading it, the immediate reaction you'll have is probably going to be one of a little bit of shame. That's not really where I am right now. Maybe what you say. And so you just get busy trying to get to that point. 2 Timothy, let's turn over to the New Testament now. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And again, many of these passages are probably already familiar to many of you. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't forget how that passage starts. I know the old King James says study. The new King James says be diligent. It's something you work hard at. You make it a habit to study God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. Paul writing to Timothy says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation to doctrine. Then in verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Give yourself entirely. We know what that means, right? Give it your all. We hear that all the time in various endeavors. Give it your all. Put everything you got into it. What do you think? Is that the approach that we're taking with our study? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at the first couple of verses there. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I have in recent weeks heard Lucas crying pretty hard back there in the back. And I would imagine that at least some of those times that Lucas is crying real hard is that Lucas wants to be fed. Lucas is desiring to be fed, and he's letting his mom and daddy know that. Well, that's the analogy that's used. Just as much as a newborn baby craves that milk, just as a newborn baby is crying to be fed, that's the desire we should have for the Word of God. We got to have it. We got to have it or we're going to die. That's the point that we need to understand. Let's look at one other habit, though, that we need to get into, establish. And that is doing good works. And the point that I want to make about this before we look at some of these individual passages, we're not just talking here about avoiding sin. Now, there's a lot to be said for that. That could be covered in another lesson. We're not talking about just avoiding sin. We're talking about actually going out and doing good. We need to establish that as a habit. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Then look down to verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We need to be doers. Religion, or the religious world today, is full of talkers. It's full of talkers. There's a lot of people who can talk a good religion. But when I read through the New Testament, there's a whole lot more emphasis put on doing than talking. The Lord wants doers. And we need to get in the habit of doing good things. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verses 9 and 10. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. Now, he's talking about church care of widows here, but look at the example, though, of good works that he mentions in verse 10. Well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, and notice the last phrase, if she has diligently followed every good work. In other words, women who have made a habit of doing good works. Galatians chapter 6 also speaks to the need for this. Galatians chapter 6, look at verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know the thing about opportunity? Opportunity sometimes leaves just as quickly as it comes. Right? You got a great opportunity to do something good. When do you think you ought to seize that opportunity? You might want to go ahead and seize it right now because it's not going to stay there forever. Christians ought to be alert, looking around them, aware of things that are going on with our brethren, with other people that we may know. We're alert. We're vigilant. There's a lot said about that in the New Testament. And so when we see some situation develop, some circumstance arise where some really good things can be done, then we seize that opportunity. That's what the Lord expects out of His people. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We keep seeing those words and phrases, right? Always, constantly, steadfastly, used in connection with these different duties. Look in Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. Let's pick up there with verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life. Now we need to pay attention here because he's about to tell us who will receive eternal life. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Patient continuance in doing good. And then look at verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then one final passage. Look in Acts chapter 10. We'll close by using the Lord again as an example. Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know, there would be worse things that could be put on your tombstone than he went about doing good. If that was just the short little biography of your life, he did good. That's not bad at all, is it? Not bad at all because that's how the life of Jesus is summed up right here in this passage. But again, there are opportunities out there. But sometimes we got our head kind of stuck in the sand, and sometimes we got our head stuck in our own interest in our own affairs, and we don't see things that are out there. Again, there's needs that can be met within our own congregation. Sometimes we become aware of situations with other people. Maybe the time is right to talk with someone about the gospel now. Maybe they've given us some kind of lead-in now. Maybe some circumstances have changed with their life to where they might be more receptive now. And we know that, and we just let that just slip on by, and we don't say anything, we don't do anything, we don't seize that opportunity. There are a million and one good things that we can be out there doing. And the thing about it is, if we get into the habit of it, it gets hard to stop. We get into the habit of it, we learn how much good it accomplishes, right? And then it just kind of feeds itself then. You get in the habit of it, you see how much good is being done, and it just encourages you to do even more. And it's just, it becomes a wonderful thing after that, right? Good habits are hard to break. Habits like doing good. Habits like studying God's Word. Habits like assembling with the saints for worship. And habits like prayer. When I say make these things habits, I'm not suggesting that we do these things mindlessly. Okay, our minds, our hearts should be engaged as we do these things, but there's still something to be said for them becoming habitual. That we don't have to, you know, force ourselves. We don't have to give ourselves a talking to about it. We're just in that mode of where we're just doing it on a regular basis. If we can assist anyone this morning in making your life right with the Lord, if you need to become a Christian today, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, we can assist you with that. If you need to return to the Lord as an erring Christian, we'd urge you to come now as we stand and sing.